It's not that I don't like him. During that mess with the Baker account, Dave was a rock. As far as bosses go, he's great. I squinted ahead. Is this it? No. White picket fence, Julie said. I pressed down on the accelerator. Oak trees, high hedges and trim, vibrant lawns slid past. 95% of the time, Dave and I get on great. It's just... That's it, said Elizabeth. White picket fence. Go up the driveway. She said there's enough space for our car. I blew air between my teeth. See, this is what I'm saying. Naturally, their driveway has plenty of space for cars. Elizabeth turned around in her seat to inspect our cargo. I don't know what you're talking about. He's competitive. He has to have the best of everything, all the time. If you can stand it at work, you can stand it for one afternoon tea. I want to see Julie. But that's the thing. At work, he's my superior. I acknowledge he's my boss. Outside of work, though, he's supposed to be my equal. So outside work, him telling me about his stock portfolio or how his golf handicap is down to 18 is obnoxious. I pulled up and gestured over the steering wheel. You see? Look at that. He could have parked that in the garage. Why is it out in the open? Elizabeth looked forward. Ooh, convertible. Then she saw what was behind it. Oh, my God. I peered up. They probably don't even use half the rooms. How could they? It's just two of them and the baby. Not jealous, are we? No. I couldn't care less if Dave wants to mortgage himself up to his eyeballs to have a, what, 18-bathroom house in the most expensive suburb in the city. What annoys me is that I know the whole time we're here, he'll be thinking how impressed we must be with his house, how much better it is than ours. Because that's all he cares about, being better. Your paranoia is showing, darling. You wait, because you know what he's worst about? What he never stops going on about. Not the house, not the car, not the stock options. They're just proud. She unfastened her seatbelt. So are we. Proud is one thing. This is obsessive. You'll see. Elizabeth twisted around again. He's asleep. For God's sake, wake him up, I said, alarmed. If he's drowsy, Dave will think he's slow. I pressed the doorbell and took a step back. Elizabeth was cradling Charlie, who, thank God, had not burst into tears the moment upon waking, but rather was looking about with clear, interested eyes. Relax, Elizabeth said. You're standing there like a robot. I unclenched my hands. Just one thing. I told Dave that Charlie could walk. Elizabeth's mouth dropped open in outrage, but the door handle was already turning, and suddenly there was Dave in his cream sports jacket and open-neck shirt, and Julie cradling their 10-month-old son, Sebastian. We were a mirror image of each other, so spontaneously we all burst out laughing. Then Elizabeth and Julie both went, ah, and rushed forward to coo over each other's babies. I can't believe how big he is, Elizabeth said. And Julie said, look at all Charlie's hair, because the last time Elizabeth and Julie saw each other was in hospital, shortly after each had given birth. Yes, the little man's up to 19 pounds, Dave said. There followed a pause, during which he was clearly waiting for me to tell him Charlie's weight. I declined. Charlie's 17 and a half, Elizabeth said. Aren't you, little guy? He's adorable, Julie said. Dave stood aside and swept an arm grandly out, inviting us into the mansion. He planted a kiss on Elizabeth as she passed, and I went to smile at Julie, but she leaned forward expectantly, so I kissed her cheek. During this manoeuvre, I got my first look in 10 months at little Sebastian. He was chubby, with dark, wet-looking hair, and skin like fresh plaster. He was also asleep and drooling down one cheek. I was surprised. Following Dave's tales at work, I'd been expecting a muscular 30-inch Adonis with lightning crackling in his eyes. When I pulled back from the kiss, Julie was looking at me with a smile. Julie is very attractive. Dave never settles for second best, of course. and this smile made me say something stupid. In fact, the last thing in the world I wanted Dave to hear. But for a second, it was just me and Julie and her 10-month-old baby, so I said, "He's a perfect little boy." Julie's smile wavered. "Well..."
"Yes," Dave said, "he is. Would you like the tour?"
This was about as mind-numbingly boring as you would expect, the tedium moderated only by intense irritation as Dave made overly jovial interjections about the expense of various items of furniture and the appalling amount of space they simply couldn't find a use for. When the torture finally ended, Dave said,
"Well, shall we adjourn to the sitting room?"
The sitting room was, of course, enormous. It offered a view over the vast expanse of their magazine-quality gardens.
"Would you like a beer, Jonathan?" Dave asked. "Or something more serious? I have a Scandinavian malt you might like."
"Whatever's going is fine." Scandinavian whiskey. Honestly.
"Anything for you, Elizabeth?"
"No, thanks. I'm still breastfeeding."
Dave nodded. "Sebastian's mainly on formula now. Julie was breastfeeding, of course, but Sebastian has special needs."
He and Julie exchanged a look, and there was an odd pause. Then he smiled at us.
"Amazing how ravenous they are, isn't it? I'd swear Sebastian drinks his own body weight every day. Of course, he needs the energy. I tell you, sometimes he's crawling up the walls."
"He's walking?" Elizabeth asked. I groaned inwardly.
"Since 6 months. Now he runs. Sometimes we have trouble catching him."
"Goodness."
"Unfortunately, though, you may miss the show. He usually sleeps until 6 or 7.
Elizabeth's face fell. "Oh, no. I want to see him properly." I was thrilled. It meant I wouldn't have to tell Dave how wonderful his kid was, and know he was hearing better than Charlie.
"He's sleeping well, then?" Julie said, "During the day, yes, but he hasn't worked out what nights are for yet."
"Huh," I said. "That's rough. Charlie's slept through since he was 3 months." "Yes, we'd be totally sleep-deprived if we didn't have Nicola," Dave said.
To Elizabeth's confused look, he added, "The nanny." "Oh," Julie said, "Dave tells me Charlie's walking as well."
"Sure is," I said.
"Well," Elizabeth put in, "walking could be a bit of an exaggeration. He pulls himself up on things."
"And walks," I said.
"He staggers." Dave laughed at this, and irritatingly, Elizabeth turned to laugh with him. "He staggers when aided by furniture." "For God's sake, you don't need to exaggerate. Plenty of kids aren't walking by 10 months. There's nothing wrong with it." During all this, my eyes were fixed on Elizabeth, because I couldn't bear the thought of turning to see Dave's smug expression. But finally, I couldn't hold out any longer. And to my surprise, he didn't look smug at all. He looked relieved.
"He crawls," I admitted. "He crawls like the wind, but he can't walk yet."
Dave and Julie laughed. Again, it wasn't what I had expected. They weren't patronizing, but open and friendly. Almost grateful. A second passed, then Julie said, "Oh, tell them." He sighed.
"Well, the thing is..."
"Sebastian's a lovely baby," Julie interrupted. "He really is. We adore him, but..."
"This is just between us," Dave said. "This can't get around at work. You understand, Jonathan?"
"Of course." Elizabeth said, "Julie, if something's worrying you, please, you can tell us. It's perfectly natural to worry about every little thing. And if there's anything I learned from Charlie, it's that babies are individuals. They're not always like in the books." Dave nodded. He rested one hand on his wife's knee.
"You're right. It's just, well, Sebastian doesn't reflect."
There was silence. I said, "Reflect what?" "In mirrors," Julie explained. "He has no reflection. You can't see him at all."
Elizabeth said, "What?"
"I'll show you." Julie abruptly stood up and disappeared into the kitchen.
"I know," said Dave. "It really threw us, too. Still does. There's nothing about it in any of the books. I said, I'm sure it's just... But I had no idea what it was just. I'm sure it's...
Julie returned with an ornate hand mirror. Can you see? I craned my neck, because the mirror was only showing the blanket Sebastian was wrapped in. Elizabeth's hand flew to her mouth. Oh, dear God! Julie rocked back onto her heels, pressing the mirror to her chest. You think it's terrible? Oh, no, said Elizabeth. It's just... What did the doctor say?
Well, Dave said, the thing is, we haven't talked to the doctors. We haven't talked to anyone. We didn't even notice until he was a few weeks old. I mean, in all other respects, he's fine. He's a perfectly normal baby boy. And he's healthy. I don't need to see a doctor to know that. He just has this odd problem.
Is it all mirrors? Dave nodded. Julie said, and cameras. He doesn't come out on film. She bit her lip, suddenly close to tears. And all the family want photographs, and we don't know what to tell them. Oh, Julie. Elizabeth sprang from the sofa and threw her arms around her.
I've been trying to research it on the internet, Dave said, to find other parents with the same problem. But all I can find is... He grimaced. Well, you know. I did, but didn't want to say it.
What?
He forced the word out. Vampires.
What? Elizabeth said, honestly confused.
Vampires don't cast reflections, Dave said, reddening. According to myth...
Julie sobbed. He was always hungry, no matter how much he drank. Always hungry. Her body shuddered. We only give him a little, just a few drops, mixed in with the formula. I doubt he can even taste it. But he started putting on weight. Now we're afraid to stop.
I said, you're talking about blood?
Dave nodded. His face a mask of strain.
We didn't know what else to do.
I stood, walked across the carpet, and knelt in front of Dave. You did the right thing. Each kid is different. That's the way of the world. So Sebastian doesn't reflect. So what? It doesn't make him any less of a beautiful little boy. Dave was crying now. I did something I hadn't done in 10 years. I hugged another man. It was almost 6 by the time we left. We were exhausted, and, to be honest, I wanted to be out of the house before Sebastian woke. What had Dave said? Sometimes he's crawling up the walls. Charlie had fallen asleep and didn't stir as Elizabeth strapped him into his car seat. She climbed in the passenger side and closed her door. Sometimes you are too much.
What?
I comforted the man. I was sensitive. I helped him. You could have mentioned what happens to Charlie every full moon. Oh, shush, I said. There's nothing wrong with that.